Jenny Graham, your Republican candidate for the House race in the 6th District. I'm a veteran, a wife, mother, entrepreneur, and tenacious advocate for safe neighborhoods and schools. I'm running to protect families, businesses, and jobs. I'm running to protect your rights, your tax dollars, and to fight for prosperity in the 6th District. Running for office was never in my life's plans. My first experience with state government was working as a survivor of child abuse to change an unfair law. The law that allowed my abuser and the reason behind my siblings' deaths to walk free. I worked with a broad coalition of fellow survivors, prosecutors, law enforcement, and legislators to find a reasonable and fair solution to the situation. Fast forward to today. I'm more than just a survivor of horrific circumstances. I'm a thriver in every way. I'm grateful for the years I served in the Army. I believe the Army saved my life and helped shape me into the strong woman I am today. My husband, Curtis, and I moved to Spokane decades ago to pioneer a local tire store. Our three children, Chandler, Dalen, and Tilo, attended District 81 public schools. They graduated from North Central and Shadle High Schools. Then they attended community college and Eastern Washington University. Higher education is important to our family. When I was a child, school was my safe place. It was the only place I was allowed to be a kid. From the outside, our home looked normal, but once I came home from school, everything changed. Being seen or heard was dangerous. It breaks my heart to know that our children and teachers are no longer feel safe in our schools. We have a duty to provide a safe environment for them to benefit from the education that will set them on a productive path in life. Education opens doors. I have heard and will answer the questions asked of me by students and teachers who want to know what I will do as a legislator to keep them safe.
So tell me more about the story about changing the law that you were talking about in Olympia. What was the law and what did you want to change it to?
Well, the old law stated that a child had to report abuse, and this was the same for child pornography as well. They had to report the incident within a year of it happening. And the problem with that is that in most of the time in those instances, children are not like adults. They don't have the life experience with trauma to know how to navigate that. And if they didn't have a safety net to be able to tell, it didn't matter what kind of evidence they had or how strong it was or how many people saw it, the perpetrator walked free, period.
And so tell me about the process of trying to change that law.
Well, the process started when I made a cold call one day because I had questions about my sister's murder. She was murdered by the Green River serial killer, and it took 20 years for him to be captured. And when I gained access to her death investigation files, I started to recognize that there was evidence there that I didn't know existed, that as far as I had known up till that point, it was just my word against the abusers that had happened. And in those files was absolutely irrefutable evidence that the crimes were committed, and the names and the whole thing, because it was a death investigation. So then I started looking into the statutes of limitations, because obviously I learned that regardless of the evidence, nothing could be done. And it dawned on me at that point in time, and other survivors that I knew of that had been survivors of child sexual assault, that we all were facing the same thing, that as children, there was nothing that we could do. We didn't have a voice. But now we were adults. And as adults, we felt that we had a duty to step up and protect the next generation. We knew that it wouldn't help us, but we knew that something had to be done, that it wasn't hard to keep a child quiet for a year, And when evidence did surface, there needed to be a better solution to the survivor being able to seek justice if it was possible. So we began working with prosecutors and legislators and law enforcement, because everybody was kind of doing their own thing and nobody was really communicating about the issue. And that's what it really took, was taking the information and going to legislators to first educate them about the issue, educate them why it needed to be changed, and start talking with everybody on both sides, whether it was Democrat or Republican, it didn't matter. We needed to find a solution, because child sexual assault, it's an equal opportunity destroyer of people. It destroys the victims, it destroys the abusers, and it destroys both families that love them. So our goal was not it wasn't to put people in jail. It was to draw that line in the sand that says, you know, you're no longer going to hide behind an unfair time limit. If there is evidence there, you know, you cannot continue to keep making victims.
So then you tell me about how long it took then in order to get a law passed that was more to your liking, and what does the new law say?
Well, we worked for approximately 2 years back and forth, working on shaping and adjusting. There were other individuals that tried for about 8 years before I came along, and nothing changed. The needle didn't move. We didn't get anywhere. So I came in asking questions. Why hadn't certain things been done? Who did you talk to? If they didn't support this, why? You know, because I'm the type of person that I dive in, and facts matter, and I'm not afraid to go to whoever it is that I need to go to ask questions and to really think outside the box to find a workable solution. And that's what it took, about 18 out of 24 hours a day of my life, driving back and forth to Olympia as a mom and on my own time and at my own expense, because I cared and I believed that we could find a solution. It was just a matter of getting from point A to point B, and that's what we did.
So the one-year statute of limitations, is the statute of limitations now gone, or did it just lengthen that statute of limitations?
No, the statute of limitations, the law changed in 2013. Now every survivor has until their 30th birthday to report the abuse. And if there is evidence that's available, because these cases are so hard to try, if that evidence is there, then they have an opportunity to have their case heard in court. And every survivor that I know of, that's always what was on our mind, is justice and to protect other potential victims. So that was first and foremost. And also with child pornography, there's no statute of limitations on that now. However, if the survivor has proof of who did the crime, that they actually did the crime, they have a year to commence prosecution, which is fair. You're never going to get perfect. Perfect doesn't exist, but we really did strive for something that was fair, that everybody could live with.
So is that the driving thing that got you to run for the legislature?
It was my first experience, for sure, that so many times we hear, and a lot of survivors or people that have been victimized think, I'm just one voice. You know, what possible difference can I make? And I lived that experience of understanding that there were victims that were dying. They were dying, they were getting into drugs, they were getting into alcohol, they were getting into destructive behavior, and a lot of it was stemming from that abuse, and it was being ignored, and it was just wasn't okay. Losing my sister and brother, I will never, ever get over that. You just don't. I mean, I live with it. I miss them every day. I always will. And I know that when I took that on, I never expected, you never expect that you're going to know how it might affect somebody's life, that ripple effect. And I was fine. I understood that. It wasn't why I did it in to begin with. But I did get a call out of the blue from a woman that, first, she was surprised that she got a hold of me. Secondly, she promised me she wasn't a stalker. And then she went on to discuss her sons. Her youngest son, Garrett, actually committed suicide because he'd been abused as a five-year-old. And the after effects of the abuse he couldn't live with. So his death investigation produced letters which led to them questioning the older brother, who was also sexually abused by the same person. And it was only because we worked so hard to change the law regarding that crime that they were able to extradite the abuser from Virginia and bring him back to have him be accountable for what he did. And mainly what mattered to us is that he was no longer able to continue to create more victims. So justice was served in that case. You know, I will always remember Garrett's name, you know, and listening to his mom tell me her story and knowing, you know, that all those years that I spent driving back and forth, that it really did make a difference. And it was a positive difference and change for our community, which is something that we need, especially in these tumultuous times when their divide is so strong and wide, it seems.
So given all this, if you get elected and go to Olympia, what are the things that are going to be your top of the line bullet points that you want to work on?
The top of the line bullet points that are from what I'm hearing, this is from me going to speak to people at their doors, speaking with business owners. Taxes are something that are overwhelming in Washington State right now. And a lot of that has to do with uncontrolled spending, and there's no accountability or little accountability in some cases. So that is something that is important to me, that I recognize that Washington State does not have a tax deficit issue, that if I can work to keep the tax dollars in voters' pockets, then that allows them to spend that money in our local community. It benefits everybody here. And if there is something that they are passionate about, helping the homeless, working with the elderly, being involved in the schools, or something that interests them, they have that extra cash where they know that that's where that's going to go, that it's them and not the government making that decision. So that, I think, is important, giving the families the means to have their families thrive and be able to share with others. And the other thing that is important to me is protecting our neighborhoods and our schools. I really do want to work with as many people as we can. We have children that are walking. They're marching in the streets saying, we do not feel safe. I've had teachers telling me that they are not safe at school. One teacher told me that she locked her door because she was the first point of entry and she was afraid. She got in trouble for locking her door. And I think that that's something that we can change. It has to change.
Are there specific things you would do in that realm to make them feel safer?
Yes. In having the conversations that I've had both with students and teachers and law enforcement officials that I know, one of the things that is important that I hear is that doors are locked, but that doesn't do anything as far as security because anybody can just go and open the door. So while we need those doors there for the kids to be able to get out, you know, if there's an emergency, they've got to have points of exit. At the same token, those doors should be alarmed to keep the people out that are not supposed to be in, and they need cameras because that allows them time to monitor, to, you know, if there is an issue going on. So that is first and foremost a huge step in providing some security for the schools. I am not a huge fan of guns being in the schools with teachers, I don't have any idea what their training is. And who knows, if there were a situation, now the teachers are put in the place of trying to distinguish themselves between being a good guy or a bad guy. I would really rather work on getting that security in the schools to prevent that to begin with. And it's possible. I do not relish the idea of schools becoming a prison. But at the same token, I would rather have my child or a teacher alive at the end of the day and, you know, understand that we're not living in a perfect world, that we have a responsibility to be proactive for our safety. And if that requires taking some steps, it's worth that price, because they're only there for so many hours a day, and they're free to, you know, go and do other things, you know, in wherever they, whatever they're going to pursue.
Armed security guards?
That is something that I believe is going to come down to the parents and the school district to decide. That is something that I do believe should be a local decision. Some people are going to be are okay with that. It does happen in other states. And there are some people that are vehemently opposed to that. And that's just as important. It really does come down to being a local choice for parents and the school administration.
Okay. Were there any other issues that you were looking at following up on?
The education is important to me. The other thing that I hear so much of and I see the need for is to work on getting more access for individuals to be trained in the trades. Those are living wage jobs that we're hurting. There are so many people that are retiring and we do not have the skilled workforce to replace them. When you talk about issues like the homeless issues that are on so many of our minds, even if we have the land sitting there and the money sitting there, it doesn't do us any good if we do not have the electricians and the plumbers and the contractors to build those low-income housing options. So that is a very real situation that we're facing. And again, there's a solution for that. And there's a solution for good-paying jobs, good-paying living wage jobs. It's a win-win for everybody. So that is something that I'm definitely advocating for. My children have benefited from higher education, but I also recognize there's more than one form of higher education, and that should also be respected and encouraged, because that's a whole different set of skills. And you never realize just how skilled those people are until you need a good mechanic and you can't find one.